from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first headlines. President Joko Widodo says increase of automotive export opens employment. President Joko Widodo optimistic Indonesia's automotive export to increase. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dal Pane. President Joko Widodo said that the increased exports of vehicles and automotive components will open up greater employment opportunities for the community. Such exports will also provide huge employment opportunities, especially for medium and small industries that produce components, both key and auxiliary components. When witnessing the exhibition of Indonesia International Motor Show 2018 at JIE Expo Kemayoran in Jakarta on Thursday, he stated that the automotive industry in Indonesia is growing rapidly. Business actors can also target opening markets to areas other than ASEAN countries. The president encouraged creative industries such as modification of two-wheeled vehicles to penetrate overseas market. President Joko Widodo is optimistic that Indonesian automotive exports can increase. The optimism came after President Joko Widodo witnessed the rapid development of Indonesia's automotive industry, followed by increased exports to neighboring countries. After opening the Indonesia International Motor Show at the Jakarta International Expo, JIE Expo, at Kemayoran in Jakarta on Thursday, President Joko Widodo said that the Indonesian automotive industry has a great opportunity to expand its market if the price over is competitive.
Yang pertama, kita melihat industri.
First, we see the automotive industry in our country is growing very rapidly. First, I am glad that our exports increase, especially to our neighboring countries. But we see later if the price is competitive. I think our automotive industry will be able to get out of ASEAN its exports. And secondly, exports for the knockdown components also increase very sharply, 13 times export in components. It will also open up a lot of employment. On the same occasion, President Joko Widodo also said that the Industrial Revolution 4.0 will grow the automotive industry in Indonesia. He predicts that the transition of technology from the previous industry era to Industry 4.0 will open up new opportunities such as the incredible online taxi service, both motorcycle and car. However, automotive industry is required to understand, prepare and follow the changes that exist. One of them is to prepare for different types of work, one of which is a periodic maintenance service for vehicles that are used for the purpose of online taxi service. Such periodic maintenance service will be needed because they must serve their customers 24 hours per day. Three ambassadors from United States coalition states, U.S. ambassadors to Indonesia, Joseph Donovan, British ambassador to Indonesia, Muajjam Malik, and French ambassador to Indonesia, Jean-Charles Bertonnet, in particular, held a meeting with Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi in Jakarta on Thursday. In the meeting, she reiterated the position of Indonesia related to the chaotic use of chemical weapons in Syria. In addition, she also said to them that Indonesia asks all parties to exercise restraints so that the situation in Syria is not getting worse. This was affirmed by Indonesian Prime Ministry spokesman Armanata Nasir in a press conference in Jakarta on Friday.
Pada intinya, kemarin memang ada tiga duta besar.
In a sense, yesterday, there were three ambassadors from the United States, Britain and France who met the foreign minister. At the meeting, basically they disclosed their position. The Minister of Foreign Affairs reiterated the position of Indonesia. First, we are certainly concerned about the developments that exist in Syria. The second, the Minister of Foreign Affairs reiterated that they are strongly condemning the use of chemical weapons by anyone. The third one also says that we ask for all parties to exercise restraint and to pay attention to the humanitarian aspect, especially for women and children, to be a priority. Armanata Nasir added that in a meeting with the three ambassadors of the U.S. coalition countries, Minister Retno Marsudi also again conveyed a message to all parties to respect the value and international law, in particular the United States Charter on International Peace and Security. In relation to the thousands of Indonesian citizens who are still in Syria, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs keeps monitoring how the current conditions in the region is. In addition, Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs has also prepared a contingency plan if the situation is worsening. Related to the airstrikes in Damascus, Syria on Saturday, April 14, three ambassadors of the United States-U.S. coalition who were involved in the attack in Syria met Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi at Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Thursday, April 19. The three ambassadors are U.S. Ambassador to Indonesia, Joseph Donovan, U.K. Ambassador to Indonesia, Moja Malik, and French Ambassador to Indonesia, Jean-Charles Bertonet. After meeting Minister Retno Marsudi, Ambassador Moja Malik said that one of the aims of the meeting was to explain the legal basis of the attacks targeted to the Syrian government facilities under the regime of Bashar al-Assad. He also said the meeting was held in the initiative of the ambassador of the U.S. coalition country, not at the request or invitation from Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs.
So I was in touch with Retno at the end of last week and asked for a meeting for the three of us to come and explain what had occurred. We have offered to share our evidence. We have offered to share our legal opinion on the legality of the strike, and indeed to offer full cooperation to the Indonesian authorities because they are fully aware of what has happened in Douma, but also what has happened previously in Syria, and indeed are utterly seized of the need to uphold this convention for the future.
In addition, Ambassador Moja Malik also mentioned that the target of attacks was aimed at preventing the use of chemical weapons in the future. He views that the U.S. coalition states do not intend to change the government or change the direction of the Syrian conflict, because the only solution of this conflict is an inclusive political process involving all parties. In connection with the legal basis, the British government has explained through www.government.uk that it has taken refuge in the legal grounds that the attack on Syria was undertaken to overcome the misery of humanity suffered by the Syrian people by reducing the Syrian government's chemical weapons capabilities previously suspected to be used for conducting an attack in Douma, Syria. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Rural development becomes one of the national priorities as listed in the 9 Priority Development Program, Nawacita. To support the National Development Program, the Central Bureau of Statistics, BPS, will conduct a data collection on villages' potential or POTS from 2nd to May 31st, 2018. POTS is a collection of infrastructure, social and economic potentials owned by each village or sub-district and district or city throughout Indonesia. Head of the Central Bureau of Statistics, Kecu Suharyanto, said that POTS is aimed at creating data of villages' potential, village typology, updated source data of working area of statistical data, and basic information for the population census 2020. on the socialization approach 2018 in Jakarta on Thursday, Kecu explained that the data collection can measure the effectiveness of village fund policies which have been conducted by the government since 2015.
Kita meng-cover seluruh desa dan kelurahan, hampir 82,000 itu semua di...
We cover all villages and sub-districts. We visit almost 82,000 one-on-one. From there, we can see how many villages are shifted, left behind or developed, and then become independent. The second, we will later make a model how the impact of village fund is toward economic growth and the quality of human life. Because if we talk about development targets and development funds, it is not just economic aspect. The quality of human life is important. Suharyanto further said the village's potential or POTS will be used as a reference for change in urban and rural classification. POTS data plays a major role in the allocation of village funds as the basic data of village development evaluation. Based on BPS data related to POTS, ministers and agencies can also develop geographic difficulties indexes that are important indicators in allocating village funds. The government is very serious to deal with rural and suburban development by disbursing a lot of village funds. From this POTS data, village development index can also be carried out, and it divides the village into the independent. From this POTS data, village development index can also be carried out, and it divides the village into independent, developing, and disadvantaged villages. The government is targeting 5,000 disadvantaged villages to become developing villages and 2,000 developing villages to become independent ones. House of Representatives DPR will hold Critic Competition 2018 in celebrating the anniversary of the House on 29 of August 2018. The House asks all parties to support the agenda so that the House can understand what must be improved. The House lets the people criticize the House strictly. This was stated by Speaker of the House Bambang Susatyo at Political Dialogue at Media Center of Parliamentary in Jakarta on Thursday.
For the House of Representatives, criticism is like a fertilizer. I want the House to be able to grow big. This is the spirit of ours, to make critic competition. Because without criticism, the House doesn't know what to improve. However, the criticism must be constructive.
Speaker Bambang Susatyo said that the present House is not the same as the previous one. Now the House is open for all people to come closer and open for all kinds of information. Even he affirmed that the House will launch an application, DPR Now, on which all activities of the House can be monitored through smartphones. Critic Competition 2018 can be followed by all Indonesian citizens with category of 500-word essay writing and meme category like picture or caricature, as well as video for 2 minutes. Well, listener, that was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Two Koreans U.S. High Level Meeting. The North and South Korean people are currently waiting for the outcome of their leaders' meeting with President of the United States Donald Trump to discuss the future of relations between the two countries on the Korean Peninsula. After being separated for 65 years due to the Civil War, in 1950-1953, it is likely that the people of both Koreas are longing for peace. President Donald Trump himself hopes that high-level meeting between leaders of both Koreas and the United States will result in agreement. He expressed his hope in Washington on Wednesday after listening to his CIA director Mike Pompeo's report. Pompeo had specifically visited Pyongyang for 3 days until April 2nd and met North Korean leader Kim Jong-un.
Since few months ago, the idea of reconciliation process between South Korea and North Korea has seemed to face a deadlock. At the time, North Korea still conducted nuclear weapon tests. It even launched ballistic missiles, which were propagandized to be able to reach the American continent. Responding to the Pyongyang's action, Donald Trump then threatened to attack North Korea. The side war between Washington and Pyongyang has finally subsided after signs of dialogue between North and South Korea emerged. The softening of North Korean stance is marked by the attempts of K-pop artist delegations visiting and performing in Pyongyang and getting the North Korean leader's attention. Ahead of this summit, Kim Jong-un has met China's President Xi Jinping during a state visit in Beijing, China. Like the people of both Koreans, the international world also hopes that the summit of both Korean leaders with the United States can take place and result in agreement that will improve relations. For the people of both Koreans, the summit is certainly welcomed with great optimism. This will be the first to take place after the Korean Peninsula was divided into North Korea and South Korea due to civil war. Whether the optimism and hope can be realized is still waiting for the result of the current United States summit. That hope is also very dependent on the attitude of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, in particular in facing the demands of the denuclearization. Besides, it also cannot be separated from how China, as a major supporter of North Korea, and the United States, as a supporter of South Korea, have to address and view the future of two countries on the Korean Peninsula that were originally one. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start from an event which occurred on April 20, 1999. Dumai City in Riau was officially inaugurated as a municipality. Dumai was previously only a small hamlet on the eastern coast of Riau province, about 188 km from Pekanbaru. Dumai, which is the result of the expansion of Bengkalis Regency, was inaugurated as a city on April 20, 1999, with Law No. 16/1999 from its previous status of administrative city. On an early establishment of territory of administration, Dumai has 3 sub-districts, 13 villages and 9 hamlets, with a total of population only 250,376 people. Dumai has 1,623.38 square kilometer area and becomes the largest city in Indonesia. Currently, Dumai is planned to be a city which enter into the international free market zone. We now come to another event which occurred on April 20, 1999, mass killing at SMU Kolomben. On April 20, 1999, two Kolomben senior high school students in the town of Littleton, Colorado, the United States, shot their friends. The shooting at the school killed 12 students and a teacher and wounded 23 others. Then the two students named Dylan Klebert and Eric Harris committed suicide. The murder committed by school students is one of many events in the United States and causing disagreements in the society on armed liberation laws in their country. We end with an event which is commemorated every April 20 as the National Consumer Day. Based on Presidential Decree No. 13/2012 about National Consumer Day, the date of 20 April is decided as National Consumer Day, considering the date is decided as Consumer Protection Act. In addition, to increasing the understanding of consumers on their right and obligation, the day is also expected to place consumers as subject determinants of economic activities and also smart consumers who love home products. Therefore, business people will be motivated to increase their quality of products and services so that the products are ready to be housed in their own country and to be able to compete at global market. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to the segment of My Indonesia. Today we'll bring a topic about Indonesia-Vietnam agreed to increase trade cooperation. Export of Indonesian automotive products will return to Vietnam after export market access of Indonesian automotive products to the country had temporarily stopped. Press release from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Tuesday, April 17, stated that this is one of the issues discussed in the third session of the Joint Commission of Indonesia-Vietnam. The Joint Commission meeting, held in Hanoi, Vietnam, led by Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi and Vietnam Foreign Minister Pham Binh Minh. Automotive products is one of Indonesia's largest export to Vietnam, reached about $293 million in 2017. Previously, at the end of 2017, the government of Vietnam issued a regulation restricting the automotive import in the country. Minister Retno Marsudi said that as one of Indonesia's close neighbors, the bilateral cooperation between Indonesia and Vietnam continues to grow rapidly year on year, especially after the two countries agreed on strategic partnership agreement in 2013. In the economic field, the trade value of both countries continued to increase to $6.8 billion in 2017. Or 8.64% compared to 2016. In addition, there is an increase in the value of two-way investment between the two countries. In 2017, Vietnam's investment to Indonesia increased by about 300%, while Indonesian investment to Vietnam increased by about 36% in 2017. Various achievements in the field of economic cooperation are in line with the targets of the Strategic Action Plan of the two countries for the 2014-2018 period. In the meeting, the two foreign ministers agreed the positive momentum of economic cooperation between the two countries should be kept on guard. Therefore, the two ministers agreed to immediately develop a new action plan for the 2019-2023 period as a guide and a target of cooperation between the two countries within the next 5 years. The action plan will be completed by November 2018. Several new sectors proposed by the foreign minister to enter in the new action plan, including strategic defense industry, cultivation of crops and marine animals, marine tourism, renewable energy and creative industries. Minister Retno Marsudi expected that the new action plans can be completed by 2018 by admitting new opportunities. The two foreign affairs ministers will encourage wider interaction with various business communities to explore innovative steps to make use of various opportunities. Minister Retno Marsudi has said some identified sectors remain open for businessmen of Indonesia and Vietnam, such as downstream sector of oil and gas, hotel and property. That was My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Sarasan Lubuk Rantiang Waterfall, a tourism destination of Padang. Stay tuned. Listener, water tourism in West Sumatra is in great demand by tourists. West Sumatra, which is one of the main tourism destinations in Indonesia, has many sophisticated water attractions. Padang is the largest city in West Sumatra and the capital city of the province. The city has many water tourism destinations that you need to visit, including Carolina Beach, Padang Beach, Pasir Jambak Beach, Air Manis Beach and Lubuk Rantiang Waterfall. Lubuk Ngalawan Waterfall has an enchanting natural wonder. Lubuk Ngalawan Waterfall, or better known as Sarasah Lubuk Rantiang, is located in Sungai Bangi area, Balai Gadang Village, Kota Tangga Sub-District, Padang City. The waterfall is located about 25 km from the city center. Sarasah Lubuk Rantiang Waterfall is not too high, very cold and clear. It can be accessed about 1 hour drive from Sungai Bangi bathing place. During the trip, the visitors will be treated to a beautiful enchantment natural scenery. To get to the waterfall object, you have to pass through four river flows. It is very beautiful and located in the jungle. In Sarasah Lubuk Rantiang Waterfall, the visitors can play off-road cars and trail bikes around the object. The visitors can play water, swimming, or those who like the challenge, they can jump from the height or cliff jumping. Since the waterfall has a large green pond and very deep, there is a long rattan to indicate the deep and shallow parts of the pool. You also have to beware. The rocks are very slippery. Partly of the road to the waterfall are already constructed on asphalt. Just follow the road to IAIN Imam Bonjol campus. The place is very beautiful and located in the forest, which usually only passable by trekking. Taking and climbing down the hill into the wet and lush tropical forest. for almost 1 hour journey, finally you will reach the location of the Sarasa Lubua Rantiang waterfall. Well, listener, that was the segment of Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Sarasa Lubuk Rantiang Waterfall, a tourism destination of Padang, West Sumatra. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany
on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Welcome back, listener, in Miscellany. Today's edition will be about Halo Sultra 2018. So stay tuned in RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia at www.voinews.id. Listener, Southeast Sulawesi Sultra was originally the name of one of the regencies of South Sulawesi, and the capital regency of Southeast Sulawesi province was Bau Bau. Then, Southeast Sulawesi has been stipulated as autonomous region based on Regulation No. 2, 1964, with Kendari as the provincial's capital. The realization of the formation of Southeast Sulawesi Regional Level 1 was implemented on April 27, 1964. To enliven the Southeast Sulawesi 54th anniversary, the provincial government of Southeast Sulawesi prepares 7 main activities of its anniversary, which is packaged in the event Halo Sultra in Tugu Religi Alun-Alun Kendari on April 23 to 27, 2018. Halo Sultra was first held in 2008, then it was named Southeast Sulawesi Sheen. In 2009, the official name was changed to Halo Sultra. The word Halo is taken from Haluweleo, one of the kings who ruled the kingdom of Konawe in the 17th century, while Sultra is an abbreviation of Southeast Sulawesi province. The event of Halo Sultra 2018 has been set as 100 events of wonderful Indonesia by Ministry of Tourism more recently. So Halo Sultra became Indonesia's main tourism activities involving countries in the world. Ministry of Tourism promotes Halo Sultra to 117 countries in the world, especially all Asian countries, Japan, China, Australia, and Middle East countries, and some countries in Europe, America, and Africa. Listener, by targeting 100,000 tourists, the provincial government of Southeast Sulawesi presents 7 activities. Several events groups are prepared, such as Sultra Tenun Carnival, Cultural Art Degree, and Culinary Festival. There are also Tourism Putra Putri Tournament, Development Fairs, Business Forums, and International Photography Competition. The differences between Halo Sultra 2018 and the previous one last year are that there are 2 events to be held by the Technical Coordinator of National Business Forums in the fields of tourism and International Photo Contest.
related to international photography competition. There are currently at least 12 countries to have ensured their participation. That was Miscellany for today with the topic Halo Sutra 2018. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner. Presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back in Music Corner for today, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern. In today's edition, we will present to you a song from Central Java region. Stay tuned.
Listener, the song we've just listened to was sung by Vika. This song is not known who the creator was. This song tells about two people who learn to know each other. In the process of knowing each other, it is described how to feel longing with someone when he or she is away from the loved one. The song Jangkrik Genggong has also been performed by famous Indonesian keroncong singer, Walt Jina. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Cubla Cubla Suang by Nathan and Raisa. Happy listening! Song is usually sung by children while playing the game called Cubla Cubla Suang. The game requires three people at least. How to play is that one child faces down in the middle while the other children surround while taking turns grasping the pebbles and singing the song Cubla Cubla Suang. If the child on the stomach can guess who is holding the pebble, then someone who holds the pebbles will replace the child facing down earlier. The meaning of the song Cubla Cubla Suang itself is to get true happiness. Then, one must escape from the love of worldly possessions, emptying oneself, being humble, not demanding, and always being conscious. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Gundul Gundul Pacul and Jaranan by Taman Siswa Yogyakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, thank you for listening.
Indonesia.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th Floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.